You know, I'll tell you, I think there's an old adage, be careful what you wish for. The Performance Institute, is, with our Performance Coalition partners, really wanted something like this. It was very comprehensive. We worked with Senator Warner and Senator Carper throughout last year putting this in place. But there is a lot of kind of unknowns, and we spoke with Dustin Brown and the folks at, over at OMB recently on this. And, in fact, OMB is still really trying to figure out what's going to go into the revised A11, how they're going to structure this. And I think the number one piece of confusion I've heard, Chris, is how does this intersect with the original GPRA from 1993? In other words, do strategic plans still need to be written the same way, or do these new priority goals somehow drive your strategic plan? And there is confusion on that, and what we've interpreted and through our discussions with Senator Warner's staff, there's nothing in GPRA modernization that overrules or overrides what was in the original law. So strategic planning should continue to be done based on the vision for that organization, and these new priority goals should be part of your plan, certainly key pieces, but they should not drive the plan. And this is something that I wanted to make sure all your listeners were clear on.
But these priority goals are a pretty significant part of this legislation. To explain to folks what these are.
Well, you know, for many years we operated in stovepipes, and you've talked about this on your show many times, which is the government's very good at organizing around specific organizations, but what are our priorities as an entire government? And GPRA really wants to put the United States, I think, back with some of the countries around the world who develop national priorities. And these will be about 100 federal priority goals revisited by OMB every 2 years. Some of them will be programmatic in nature, mission-oriented. Others will be more management-oriented, but they will be what we would call intermediate-term goals. In other words, things that we can solve or see progress on in about 18 to 24 months. And the thinking is we want to have accountability to appointees and leadership, and since leadership usually lasts about 18 to 24 months, we want to have a match between these goals and the people in charge.
And we've heard Shelley Metzenbaum, who is essentially leading the performance efforts over at OMB, talk about the goals that they're trying to get written right into the budget before, you know, even before this law passed.
That's right. So this is really how they are, this is how they're operating. And what is really, I think, a big step forward for the government are some of these outcome goals, these priorities, will span agencies. It's not just going to be the Department of Commerce or the VA. For instance, one of the ones that's gotten a lot of prominence is homelessness. And homelessness, believe it or not, is something that's going to be headed up by three agencies, HUD, HHS, and VA, all taking part in working on the nation's homelessness issue. So we're trying to break through the stovepipes and have outcomes that capture the entire government.
One of the aspects of this is this, it's called Dashboard-Driven Quality Performance Reviews and Actions. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, you know, there was a feeling, and we spoke with Dustin Brown on Shelley Metzenbaum's staff about this recently, which is that paper-based reports only take you so far. And Senator Warner, for one, it just has had it up to here with paper-based reports. And he was the one who very prominently put in a provision that we're going to start doing away with some of these paper-based reports and move towards dashboards, which, as you know, are these online tools that let us get a more intuitive look at trend analysis, our targets, where we're going, where we were last year, and they help you really get more insight into the dynamic nature of the measures, something that you really couldn't do in a once-a-year paper document. This is going to be much more dynamic, updated quarterly, and as you know, they're using performance.gov as a website that is going to handle this. So this is a way really to move into the 21st century. I mean, in 1993, we didn't know about this, so we had annual paper reports. Obviously, we're in a whole new era now.
And is it your sense that having these very public dashboards that drive performance, is this effective?
You know, I'll tell you why it is, because you can get it in not just in to the public, but people start to have more of a dialogue around something that they're looking at on a regular basis. You know, I was the director of performance management at GSA at one point, and our feeling was if we could get a dashboard or a scorecard on every employee's desk, we could start to get a conversation or a dialogue about improving performance going on at the water cooler and in the hallway, and that's exactly what happened. So there is something to the nature of a dashboard that lends itself to more conversation, and that's part of that is it updates, it's dynamic, and we're able to see changes over time, and you just don't get that in some of those static documents.
Last week we talked to Bernice Steinhardt of GAO about who's they've come out with a new sort of assessment of GPRA 2.0, and they had a number of different areas, but they said one of the things that this can really help with is addressing weaknesses in major management functions at agencies. Do you share that hope?
Well, you know, that's something that's very interesting, because we know the previous administration spent a lot of time with the president's management agenda driving down hard on agencies over some management issues in finance and human capital and IT, and we're somewhat seeing a resurfacing of that attention through these priority goals. I know one of the priority goals, I think, is going to be something about prompt payment. There's going to be some other issues that they're going to use these priority goals to drive change in the management area. And I think that's what Bernice was speaking of. You know, Chris, I did have one point I wanted to make. After we spoke with Senator Warner's staff, you know, the question that came up is, where's the money going to come from to do a better job on performance and evaluation? And I think that's probably something people are curious about. And I thought his answer was very interesting, which was he would prefer, instead of putting another dollar or an extra dollar towards more service delivery, he'd rather see that dollar used to evaluate the current service. Mm. So rather than chasing good money after bad, let's hold off on that additional dollar and instead put it into program evaluation and performance measures so that we can be sure we're actually getting what we pay for. And I think that's a real change, because for years, evaluation was spoken about, but we didn't really get a sense of where it stood as a priority.
And we're out of time, but is it your sense that Senator Warner and his staff are going to continue to follow up on this?
Oh, this is huge, and I think this fits in with you know, the GAO's report on duplication couldn't have come at a better time. Senator Warner is using that as leverage to emphasize GPRA, which he calls the most important bill no one's ever heard of.
Yeah. We've talked to GAO about duplication. We've talked to them about GPRA 2.0, and we're continuing that conversation. You can find links to those conversations and to this one and to the report put out by the Performance Institute.